today, September 11th.
It's the second one we fumbled.
Let's just skip. Just skip over the idea that it's September 11th and that we screwed this up already. Let's just go.
It's going to be one of those days.
So, yeah. Ring. We've been talking about the Ring Network for several weeks now. Amazon's partnering with law enforcement. It's really scary. And a lot of people are like, hey, this is crazy. You've got this law enforcement network with facial recognition. And Amazon's like, whoa, hey, nobody said anything about facial recognition. What are you talking about? And they're like, oh, we're talking about this guy that you hired who's the head of facial recognition.
Ring says it doesn't use facial recognition, but it does have a head of face recognition research.
Different thing.
So it doesn't use facial recognition yet.
I don't know. I think it kind of does.
I think it kind of does, too. Yeah. Just because you don't, you know, officially report it.
So, yeah, once they get the big, massive network of front doors that are spying on everybody, they will begin running it through facial recognition.
If they're willing to be that disingenuous about the people they employ, imagine how disingenuous they are with things that would actually freak people out.
Yeah, or using the police to, you know, sell their products through fear. It's pretty dark all the way around.
Hey, your face is looking a little sad. Do you want some face cream? We've already ordered it for you.
We got you a prescription for happy pills. Aren't you excited?
And speaking of weird new technology, this brave new world that we're in, how about, do you hate the idea of someone else picking up your Apple Watch and strapping it onto their filthy skin?
Yes.
Well, you might not have to fear any longer if they go through with this thing that they've patented.
Apple patents a wrist watch band that could ID you from your wrist skin.
Wow, tell me more.
So the TechCrunch has an article here. It's like
here's some skin.
Your dermis. Yeah.
Look at that. It's like, oh, this is... But the sensor looks like it goes like in a snake pattern around the whole wrist, like the whole thing. It's like a very long wire to get more samples and data from your wrist.
But wouldn't your skin wrinkle more over time?
It probably changes over time.
Obviously, you get the new one every season, so that's not a problem.
Well, I think it just has to keep updating.
Or maybe it's like fingerprints, where that pattern is basically the same.
What if you just jumped out of the shower? You're all pruned up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't unlock your phone in that scenario.
That's just your fingertips, right?
Yeah.
Generally, yeah.
Pretty terrifying. They also talk about a couple other things they're doing. One of them was if you're going to go for a run or whatever, the GPS and the timer would just be LEDs that keep track so you don't have to wake your phone up to see how far you've run, stuff like that. Nothing really groundbreaking, but they're still at it. So Google, we all know that Google is doing everything they can to track us. But more and more, they're losing that ability. Because we got the WebKit and now Firefox. Everybody's stepping up and saying, hey, we're going to put a stop to a lot of this tracking stuff. And Google might be way ahead of the game here.
Google has a secret webpage that feeds your personal data to advertisers, the report says. These are the people that came up with this report. It was the Brave browser people. They did some legit investigation here. It's actually very impressive. So, long story short, Google actually did figure out a way, like the way that the law is written for like GDPR, this is fine. But the spirit of the GDPR law is that Google not do this. So I think Google is probably going to get fined, even though technically doing it this way is not against the law.
Oh, there'll be so many appeals courts for that.
Yeah. Or they're just going to close the loophole in the law. Either one. But basically, Google is using a third-party domain. So, like, you get some content from a third-party domain, and then Google can sort of piece it together behind the scenes. So instead of having, like, a tracking cookie and having all the tracking crap live on your computer, it all lives on Google's computer in the cloud, which basically does an end run around GDPR. Because the advertisers and the individual sites would use that profile to put things back together on their end to build the profile. So, yeah, it's clever. It's genius. I don't think it's going to stop like the European Union from fining them billions of dollars, though.
Nothing stops that.
But in the meantime, when they make $20 billion from that...
Maybe the European Union doesn't really care as long as they get their cut.
That remains to be seen. Well, Tesla. We haven't been talking about Tesla too much. They seem to be just, you know, plugging along, doing their own thing. There was some new competition lately. We'll talk about that a little bit.
There was an outage.
But yeah, so this seems phenomenally stupid to me. So you got three ways to get into your Tesla. You've got your key fob that they give you, which looks like a little car. How adorable. You've got your near-field communication from your phone. And then you've got an app that goes to the internet that unlocks your Tesla.
Yeah.
Why would anybody do that?
Tesla malfunction locks out owners who depend on app for entry and forces them to scramble for keys. So if you...
The keys are in quotations there. Like, what are those?
Yeah, smart cards in addition to the fob. So you can have like a smart card in your wallet. It's like a credit card thing, which is easier to carry. But you don't have to use the app. Like, in fact, Tesla is like, you know, if you're in an area with poor cell reception, you won't be able to get into your car. They recommend that you use the Bluetooth low energy thing to pair your phone with your car. So like your car can be trained to recognize your phone through Bluetooth, and you can use that to unlock your car. And so you should use that instead of an app because it doesn't depend on the internet.
But these people don't do that for whatever reason.
No.
They want to sell their data, or they want Tesla to sell their data, their location data,
they don't get anything for that,
and how often they're using their car, because that's pretty valuable, right?
Yeah. This is annoying.
Another thing that Tesla's been doing is they've been getting in the car insurance game. And it's very interesting because with a Tesla comes a massive, massive amount of telemetry. Tesla knows everything that you're doing in that car. Should your insurance company know about that? That's the question.
Tesla's use of individual driver data for insurance is a state-by-state proposition. So in California, I think, is the first state that this rolled out in.
Yeah, they're doing it in California.
So, but Reuters is writing about this in Chicago, and it varies a little bit, I guess, and whatever. They said that they're only using the same data points that individual, like regular insurance companies use, but they would be like now drivers of Tesla, and they're because if you get the Tesla insurance, that would seem to be an adversarial relationship. They will use anything they can to jack up your rates. And like the guy that was like watching Lord of the Rings and died, like if they had his data, it probably would have been like, no, we can't insure you.
Oh, you know, they ruled on that, the one case where the guy hit the fire truck. And they said that it was the fault of the driver, an over-reliance on automatic driving technology.
Mm.
So they blamed the autopilot, but they said it was the driver's fault for using it.
Ah, yeah.
Which doesn't say a lot for the autopilot.
The autopilot does say that you can't stop paying attention, which
kind of makes it pointless, right?
Yeah.
But so Tesla, I think, is kind of trying to spin this in the other direction. They're saying, hey, let us look, because you're a good driver, right? You're careful. Let us look at everything that you're doing, and we're going to give you really low insurance rates that we're never going to pay out on.
Yeah.
Because you're going to fuck up.
Yeah.
And that's, sorry, denied.
You were going 36 in a 35 zone. You're it's denied.
I would never do that.
You turned on your warp speed mode, which we advertise heavily. You're not supposed to do that. And another problem that SpaceX has with going too fast is their satellites.
SpaceX satellite was on a collision course until the ESA satellite was rerouted. So ESA is like, I guess, the European Space Agency. And this SpaceX satellite was part of their Starlink constellation for the terrestrial internet that they're working on building. It's an orbit of about 300 kilometers, I guess. 320 kilometers, something like that. So it's a pretty low orbit. And the ESA tried to use, like, there's a communication system to be like, hey, there's a 1 in 10,000 chance our satellites are going to collide. One of us is going to have to move stuff. And I guess that system was broken or whatever. And so the ESA is like, all right, we'll move ours because you're ignoring us.
And so the critical point, this is how serious they are about satellites, because there's no fixing it. You know, if it runs into another satellite, that's a wrap. And then you're going to pay tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars to replace it. 1 in 1,000 is considered like hair on fire emergency in the satellite game. I thought they were like 25 miles apart.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, people are literally just screaming and gnashing their teeth. But hey, you know, it's serious business up there. So they had to expend a little propellant.
Yeah.
That's not cheap.
No. And you can't do that forever because there's a finite amount of fuel on those. Can't refuel them.
Not a good look for Tesla. They said that it's not something that they're going to change the behavior on because they fixed it. Don't worry.
And by they fixed it, they mean someone else.
Yeah, I guess Tesla would have been the ones to do the moving, but since they were incommunicado, the ESA moved theirs and it was fine. It's bad when both companies move their satellites. That could actually increase chances of collision.
Satellite chicken. Who's going to break first?
That's a billion-dollar game of chicken right there.
What if there wasn't actually a problem with it? And somebody was like, Mr. Musk, we got to move one of the satellites. And he's like, they'll move theirs. Do you know who I am?
He's tweeting right now. These assholes won't move their thing.
Have you seen any sales numbers on the Galaxy Fold?
Zero. That would be zero.
I doubt it's zero.
Someone
That's
not
fake news. But I don't think it's setting the world on fire.
No.
I haven't heard any like big numbers from it, but it seems like Samsung is doubling down, or perhaps quartering down.
Samsung is secretly working on a foldable phone that collapses into a square. So I have my doubts about this, because you can only fold a sheet of paper like 7 times, and something as thick as a phone, folding it twice, that just seems excessive.
Well, I imagine it's still only 2 layers deep, right? It's like, but if you were to fold a piece of paper with the corners meeting in the middle.
Oh.
That's what I'm imagining. Then I have a picture of it.
Nope.
I don't think anybody's seen it. So.
This is just conjecture.
I guess the Samsung folding phone is only for sale in South Korea right now, and it's going to roll out to the U.S. very soon.
What?
Oh, I thought it was already available. It's in, I guess, sometime in September.
Yeah. What phone did you pre-order, Wendell? Tell everybody. You told the chat the other night.
I pre-ordered the F of X Tech. It's the Android phone that has a QWERTY keyboard. It's kind of like the old, like
the flip phone, the
very last generation T-Mobile Sidekick that had the, not the spinny screen, but like the flip-up screen. It's a little like that, and so I'm really excited about that, because the specs on the phone are pretty decent. Some reviewers have gotten theirs. I pre-ordered it. Hopefully, it'll be here soon. I'm all about the keyboard on a phone, but the phone has to be like not a pile of garbage.
That's going to be so good for your Twitter addiction.
I'm looking forward to
that. Think how much more you can tweet.
Yeah.
You can tweet like 30 times a day.
Should be great.
Now, we did a story that was very, very similar to this, and I think it was TechSpot. Do you remember? Because they put out these headlines, and it's like, wow, that's kind of amazing. I mean, we all saw this coming, but already? And then it's like, oh, no, this was one company in Germany.
Yeah. AMD is triumphing over Intel after a decade of second best. And so, like, and then the subheadline is Germany loves Ryzen. So there's a company in Germany, Mind Factory, I think. They publish data. There's a lot of good information in this article. But basically, this reinforces a lot of what the internet already knows, that AMD's got some damn fine CPU products these days.
I think, and this one company in Germany, which is one of their bigger tech retailers, I think, they're outselling them like 4-1.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy.
Well, I mean, they're within, you know, like 3%, but 30% cheaper, so it's a no-brainer.
Maybe for Germans. We don't know about anybody else.
Where's that hype jar? It's right back there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it is, yeah. It's just not got the paper on it anymore.
We need to get an actual mason jar.
Oh, yeah.
I have some.
We'll bring one in.
I can bring one in. We need to redo the set.
Yes, let's just
destroy
everything.
Let's just set it on fire right now. The rest of the news people just watch it burn.
Yeah. Those screens cheap. We can get more.
I could get behind that for like, no, we shouldn't destroy the technology, but we could move it around.
That's not going to get the same kind of hits.
I do want to kind of maybe put a mic stand in the, like build it into the...
Into Rosie?
Yeah, so that you could like, and then it can just do everything.
They can't see that.
Rosie's our cart that's got all our stuff on it.
It's really handy because it's on wheels. I move it all the time.
In the same vein of the last story, Intel seems to all of a sudden be very interested in how people are benchmarking. Intel says, guys, Cinebench isn't a real-world program. Why are you running it? Why are you showing these results that show our processors are only marginally, if not at all, faster than our competitor? Stop doing that, because it's not real-world.
Intel is suddenly becoming very concerned with real-world benchmarking. So this one's from Extreme Tech, unlike TechSpot, but it's really beating a lot of the same drum as TechSpot. And to be sure, I mean, AMD has not executed perfectly here. There's like the boost clocks fumbles. There's a little bit of fumble with some of their graphics cards and stuff. But to be as relatively tiny as they are, this is pretty amazing.
Who designed that graphic?
The real world stuff, like the thing in this is actually notebook applications. Like,
Krista, are you pretending that you can read that?
I don't have to read it to see how ragged that text looks.
What this is a list of the most commonly used applications.
On notebooks.
Chrome is up here at the top. Obviously, everybody's using a web browser, right? But is it Cinebench? It's hard for me to read, too. It's tiny.
It's 1,331. If only it had been six more places.
So that's Intel's argument. It's like, hey, why aren't you doing all your benchmarks based on Chrome? But, of course, it's a ridiculous argument because Chrome is going to run on almost anything. That's not, if you're buying a $1,000 or $2,000 processor, benchmarking Chrome is not going to answer any questions.
Maybe we should benchmark an episode of the news with all of the tabs and the plugins and the blockers. And that's what Extreme Tech talks about, too. It's like everybody's Chrome is going to be different because nobody's using vanilla Chrome anyway.
So, yeah, it seems like it's a little bit of sour grapes from the losing team.
Yeah, well, it's funny, though, because Intel's not really the losing team. Well, in the server space, they definitely are the losing team. But on desktops, they're not really the losing team, but it's close enough that there's not price parity. Like, if you're using Chrome, you're not going to be able to tell the difference between probably the really cheap 3600 Ryzen and, like, a 9900K. Like, you're just not... If it's just Chrome is what you're doing, I don't think you can tell.
That's not real world.
There's a fly.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's been buzzing around for a few minutes. I don't know where he came from.
Good.
Well, when it comes to the processor game...
This story was fascinating.
No matter how much AMD might be getting ahead, everybody is hitting the wall. Yeah. And what are we going to do about that 7-nanometer wall? Well, it turns out that you've got to get extreme. Extreme ultraviolet. And how are you going to do that? Well, there's a tiny little Japanese company that you've never heard of. That's like all they do is just eat Doritos and drink Mountain Dew and study lithography.
Tiny Japanese firm helps to crack the code for next-gen computer chips. Ushio is another Japanese company with global influence. It's fascinating. So to make this extreme ultraviolet light, they apparently vaporize little pieces of tin. So like they use one laser to like cut off a little tiny piece of tin, float it somewhere, and then hit it with something else, and then that turns it into extreme ultraviolet light, which can then be used for lithography. And apparently some of these things are made by hand. So like these people are, this is not really automation. This is like nth degree craftsmanship. These are like Swiss watchmakers of lithography. It's crazy.
This thing here,
craft test.
This is a testing device. This is not fabrication. No. This tests the lenses they use. Or what do they call them? The things that like have to be perfect for the dye?
I don't know.
Anyway, it takes 15 people simultaneously to operate this thing. And it's just for testing.
Swiss watchmakers, except...
Japanese.
Yeah. And also not watches.
But it seems
fun
like...
Fun branding project.
The way they explained it, they were like, yeah, so the testing thing was what was slowing us down. We've already figured out all the other stuff. Now that we can test these things and make them absolutely perfect before they go into the fabrication process, we should make rapid progressions toward even smaller transistors.
Yeah, they said that they're going to be cash flow positive next year, which is exciting. An exciting thing for them to say, I guess.
And they also refuse to do any mass market work. Yeah. They're like, no, we do this. This is all that we do.
This is what in like the Marvel universe, or like, you know, the thing. It's like there's one tiny little thing that in the universe that makes the one little thing that makes everything go. It's like it's those guys.
I guess I haven't seen enough of the Marvel universe movies.
Yeah, I don't know
what you're talking about. We talk a lot about copyright and trademark and how ridiculous it gets sometimes. I mean, you know, people will rush to trademark and copyright the simplest things. Of course, we see all these patents that Apple and everybody throws out. And sometimes it gets beyond ridiculous. So ridiculous that the people that do it just have to shamefully be like, all right, just pretend we never did that. Just put it back the way it was.
Business Insider says that WeWork paid its own CEO $5 million.
$5.9 million
to use the name We, but now the CEO is going to give it back. So,
what a cool guy.
Yeah, I mean, they were going to rebrand as like the We Company, and they wanted to trademark We, but he already had the trademark on We. But the trademark on We wasn't part of like the acquisition. I guess like when We went public or took angel investors or something, the CEO got to continue to own the trademark on We, and now they just, I don't know, that seems
so really, what a stupid name, just from like a standpoint of like SEO and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, hard to search. But they're looking at an IPO, I guess, and so they're getting a bunch of scrutiny.
Yeah.
And when the regulators came in, they were like, what did you do? He was just like, you know what, let me give you this money back, and you can keep the We as well. Yeah, since I do run this company, and it would be in our best interest to get this IPO.
Little WeWork, in case you're living under a rock, is a co-working space. So like everybody works from home, but every now and then people need to get together. You can go to an office that any one of a dozen anonymous companies might use. And it's like, I'm going to reserve the conference room in 4 offices today. Today we're in the WeWork suite. And it's like, hipster nonsense.
That's actually a feature I've seen a lot in apartment buildings now.
Yeah.
Where you have like a conference space. Yeah. That you can like.
It's probably run by WeWork.
How much of that you think is used almost exclusively for multi-level marketing?
I'll say not the ones around here. As far as I know, they're not done through WeWork, but.
They do that at like Panera's and stuff.
Oh, yeah. We saw that.
Oh,
at
yeah. We went to Panera and listened to someone give a pitch for some LMM thing.
There's something in the water. None of us can talk today.
No. I may have taken a nap.
I need more caffeine.
So we talked about the wristband that was going to detect your wrist, your skin pattern, your specific snake-like design on your body. Amazon says, hold my beer. We can go further than that.
Amazon is reportedly working on a new payment system that will let you check out at Whole Foods and other places like that. With just a wave of your hand, it's going to look at the size and shape of your hand and the pattern of your skin and a bunch of other things and check you out. It's like, this is not the empanadas you're looking for.
Yeah, the Star Wars nerds are going to go crazy for this.
Yeah.
So the idea here is, and I don't know, like, what insanity the Bezos is going on about, because he said, you know what, it takes sometimes as many as 5 seconds to register a chip reader on a card. And that's crazy. Our system can do it in like 300 milliseconds. So just wave your hand. Although I will admit, I hate it when I'm at a grocery store and it's always an old woman with a giant purse. And she's just sitting there watching them, you know, scan, and she's just chatting away, not loading her cart.
Yeah.
And then they're done. It comes time to pay. And she's like, oh, let me just dig in my purse for 20 minutes to get this card out. It's like, you should have had that ready. What were you doing?
And if it's a true old lady, she'll have a check.
You had
coupons.
Yeah.
Oh, should I have told you that I had coupons at the start? My bad.
Very angry if they don't do that either. And then you have to tell them to go to the service desk.
I do think that this would help. Although I think the old lady crowd probably isn't into the hipster places like Whole Foods. I guess maybe they are. I don't know.
Some of them are.
The thing that they point out here that is obvious is when this gets data leaked, as it will do, your hand data is not something that you can update, like your password or your PIN number.
Yeah.
So.
Cletus the meth head is going to be down at the local Whole Foods, and he's just going to be going nuts buying everything that they've got.
With an artificial hand?
Yeah. I can just, you know, modify my hand. You got a hand reader that he stole a couple of weeks ago, and it's like, oh, it's recognizing as some other guy now. It's good.
You get banned from Whole Foods, and you have to sandpaper your hand down and get a new identity. Oh, man.
It looks like you're using an ad blocker.
Popular Science does an aggressive ad blocker. So we talked about Tesla before, and the one thing we didn't talk about was the new player, too, has entered the game, and it is the Porsche Taycan. Turbo. There's no turbine. And none other than Mr. Musk pointed that out in a savage tweet.
Which we can't see.
Porsche's first electric vehicle hits 161 miles per hour and promises fast charging. They said it went 2,100 miles in, what, like 10 hours, including the time for charging, but it was using 800-volt charging.
But it used it kept an average speed of like 90 kilometers per hour, or was it 90 miles per hour?
I think it was 9, I don't know. That's a good question. I think it was 90 kilometers, but I wouldn't swear to that.
But here's the catch. It's $150,000. $175,000, I think, for like the Turbo S.
So let's get two.
Yeah. But pretty cool. You can't argue with it. It also has a two-speed transmission, which helps with the, you know, like, because the at not max speed, you lose a lot of efficiency from those electric motors. So that's supposed to help with that.
That's interesting.
And apparently nobody else does that because just the insane torque. This thing has more torque than horsepower. It's got like 750 horsepower, and then the torque is in the 790s.
Wow.
So you could just roast the tires off of this thing if you wanted to. Now, they took it to the Nürburgring. I don't know how to pronounce that racetrack. It's the famous one in Germany.
They didn't break any records, but they got close.
But Tesla says he will rent it, and he will beat them with a Model S.
Literally beat them. Like, just take pieces of it off and just beat the people who engineered it.
It's going to go into warp speed mode and destroy the voltage regulation circuitry, but he'll beat them, by God.
But, yeah, there's definitely going to be some hot competition in the EV space when more and more people start putting them out. Although, I don't know. Maybe they should put like a scoop in the hood, just for the turbo thing. You know, it's like, but there's no compressor. On to security. Supermicro, they've got a little problem with their server hardware. Tiny problem.
Over 47,000 Supermicro servers are exposing their BMC ports on the internet. The BMC is the baseband management controller. This is the remote management functionality on these Supermicro servers. It is a problem with the implementation of virtual media. Got news for you. If you're a sysadmin, your server's management port should not be exposed on the internet in the first place. This is still sensitive, I mean, inside a data center or something like that, because you could have an escalated attack. But what on earth are people doing putting their management, their IPMI, their Internet Protocol Management Interface controllers of their servers just naked on the internet with no firewall, just letting anybody log in or attempt to log in? That's crazy.
So they've got USB Anywhere, which is where you plug a USB device in, and if you're connected through this management thing, it treats it as if your USB device is on the remote machine. And there's also an exploit that can be, it's patched now, but it probably isn't. I mean, if you've got it exposed on the internet, you're probably not keeping up with your updates.
Yeah, nobody ever updates this stuff.
So you could, through this exploit, attack that USB Anywhere and, you know, get into these systems.
You have a remotely attached keyboard. So if somebody's logged into the system, you can do stuff. You can have a locally attached USB device that's malicious, that's doing all sorts of malicious things to the system. So as soon as an admin uses that to do something, you can take over. Nice.
Easy to fix if you know about it, but if you don't know about it, it's going to be a problem.
Your management stuff should not be on the internet. Why is your management stuff on the internet?
We often talk about mobile exploits, and then there's this like holy grail of zero-click interaction exploits. So if you can infect a phone without any interaction from the user, that is insanely valuable. And the way that we know this is we have actual marketplaces, like live marketplaces, where there's one side that's like, I want these exploits, NSA. And then there's another side of the, you know, the researchers and hackers who are like, okay, I will try to find that and sell it to you. And something that's never happened before has happened this week.
Android exploits are now worth more than iOS exploits for the first time ever. Exploit broker Zerodium? Zerodium?
I think Zerodium is probably Zerodium. Correct.
Increases zero-day prices for Android, now worth more than iOS. That might have something to do with last week. There was the reports from iOS that like a whole chain of exploits could have malware that lives in RAM that is basically difficult to impossible to detect because it doesn't put anything on the file system. on Apple devices, but Android devices have stronger security architecture, more application sandboxing, more isolation between processes. It's much more difficult to do a chained attack like that. And so this price increase, I think, makes sense.
Well, I think it also has a lot to do with the fact that if you are likely to be a target of the people who want to pay the most for these exploits, then you're going to have the more secure phone.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. Even though that's not the most popular phone, it's the one for your high-value targets.
Yeah. $2.5 million. So if you can visit a web page and root an Android phone, you can become a millionaire today.
Just don't tell Google about it. They won't give you $2.5 million. You got to sell it on the open market. Don't make that mistake. So we talked about Google and their somewhat abject terror, it seems, about where the industry is going in terms of tracking. And here's another headline they will not enjoy.
Firefox 69 ratchets up tracking protection, switching it on by default.
Thanks, Firefox.
And there goes their monetization.
So this is very similar. We did the WebKit headline about this. Very similar kind of thing. They're just saying it's gotten out of hand. It's too much. And you could already turn this on in some of the previous releases. But now they're like, you know, normies don't know this. Turn it on by default. And we don't care what it breaks.
This is more amazing than the March 2019 tracking by default third-party cookies thing. This is just ratcheting that up to the nth degree. So be sure to look for just abject panic in the advertiser industry over the next few weeks. It should be exciting.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm not looking forward to it because we have to find workarounds.
If we can sell them on the open market.
Yeah, $2.5 million if we... No, I mean...
that would be blood money for sure, but for $2.5 million, I might take it. Wikipedia had a little bit of a hiccup this weekend. It seems some horrible, horrible person has decided to deny the world of knowledge.
Parts of Wikipedia offline after a malicious attack. It was a distributed denial of service attack. We don't know who's behind it yet. It's a little bit of a developing story.
Also, the WoW servers got hit. Husband was not thrilled.
Oh, I wonder if the Wikipedia was collateral damage then.
Yes, yeah, I don't know.
You think they share a server somewhere?
They probably share a service like Akamai or one of those people.
Yeah, so unfortunate. Imagine that you were writing a research paper and you put it off and it's due Monday.
Gonna have to go to the library. Gonna have to go all 20th century on your
the
technology.
What?
The that library, big
what's
building
this word
you skip
that you're
through?
Using? What? Which library do I install to get around this? I almost put this in breach of the week, but it's not really a breach. It's just poorly made. What's the name of the Chinese kid who writes all the software?
He Sung.
This is definitely a He Sung kind of story.
600,000 GPS trackers left exposed online with a default password of 123456.
At least they went with six digits.
Yeah.
They could have stopped at four.
Well, I mean...
Is that much better, though?
We saw this with, like, Wi-Fi routers and crap like that. They came, you know, with, like, admin password. And then they started getting stickers where everyone has a sticker on the bottom with a different number. That's what you're going to have to do because nobody ever changes the password. And that's so dumb. Like, why are people so dumb?
And this is not just a tracker. This has a microphone that can be turned on. So you can do a lot with this basic password. And you can track their movement and listen in. I think you can send messages to the device. It's pretty bad. Sad, but not a breach.
No, technically
just
a breach.
Poorly made. We didn't have any breaches this week that I could find.
Oh, there definitely were. There just weren't any like really big ones.
Well, big names.
Breach of the week.
The Facebook thing, the 600,000 or 400,000. No, it was 400 million.
Phone numbers.
Oh, you know, I forgot to put that one in there.
And we had just talked about it last episode.
Because,
Facebook, if you gave Facebook your phone number, they accidentally posted it online.
Well, there's your breach of the week.
We did it.
We'll see you on Friday for some robots and some nonsense.
Yeah!
Yeah!